We're going to move now to hear from Professor Ajit Mohanty. Professor Mohanty holds a PhD from the University of Alberta and was a professor of psychology and ICSSR National Fellow at Jawaharlal Nehru University between 2003 and 2013. He was then UGC Emeritus Professor between 2015 and 16 at Utkal University. He has researched extensively in educational psycholinguistics, multilingualism, and multilingual education, with an incredible publication record of 180 papers and 8 books, with the most recent one published in 2019, which was titled The Multilingual Reality, Living with Languages. His current research is on multilingual education for Indigenous minorities. He has been instrumental in developing language policy for Nepal and Orissa in India, and he's been awarded a number of prestigious positions during his career. He is also a writer and a newspaper columnist in Oriya. Again, I'm delighted and honored to welcome Professor Ajit Mohanty to come and give us his reflections on the project and our discussion so far.
Well, I would add that multilingualism is not only not negotiable, it's unavoidable in Indian condition. So the title of my presentation is Multilingualism and Education, the Inevitability of Multilingualism and the Policy Myopia. I argue that the Indian language and education policy has not adequately considered the impact and the necessity of multilingualism to be promoted in our educational system. There are different orientations. Different orientations to policy and planning. Most of the multilingual societies use languages as a problem. They think too many languages are a problem. What one should be pleading for, and I think a lot of case has been made for that, including in this project, is that languages should be treated as our resources. So too many languages are not actually the problem. Our attitude to diversity is actually the problem. And I'm trying to argue that multilingualism in education is a just education. This is again carrying on from what Professor Ganesh Devi has already said. If you need to promote social justice, what is needed is multilingualism to be directly impacting our system of education. And I think it's possible. Just that we have too many languages, or we are number 4 in the world in terms of linguistic diversity, should not deter us from trying to bring down education into fewer and fewer languages. Countries like Papua New Guinea, which is linguistically most diverse in the world and one of the poorest, has primary education offered in nearly 600 languages now. Nepal, for which we developed in 2009, me and Tove Skutnam Kangas, the initial multilingual, mother tongue-based multilingual education policy framework, while their constitution was being prepared, has now officially, constitutionally, not only recognized all languages of Nepal as national language, and there are nearly 100 languages, 91 plus languages, but they have also accepted that a child has a right to be educated in her mother tongue. So it's doable. And again, the project at hand emphatically reiterates that multilingualism in education is doable. Education in many languages is often seen as costly. I think if you factor in the loss in education, I do not call the figures dropout, I call them push out, because if I am imposing a lecture on you in my language, Odia, I think most of you would either fall asleep or leave this hall in 15 minutes. How does a child continue using, you know, listening to a language which she never understands in a classroom for years together? It takes, our studies show, takes about 3 years for a child to appreciate, begin to appreciate the language of the teacher, if the school language is not her home language. And by then, it is too late. That's why most of our dropouts, so-called dropout, government figure dropout, I call them push-outs, happen in grade 2 and 3. And then, of course, as Professor Ganesh says, any time you have exam, because absence of language of a child in the home contributes to educational failure in this country, and maximum. So if you factor out the wastage in education, we have shown the figure, nearly 90% wastage by the time a child reaches high school, then obviously education in many languages is not costly. It's cheaper, actually. And there are World Bank figures and other figures which show that if you allow mother tongue-based education, education is about 27% cheaper. There is a lot of work on economics of education by Francois Green, European linguist, economist actually, who has worked on the mother tongue-based education, mother tongue-based policy, and the cost effectiveness of that. He emphatically shows that it's cheaper actually to have a mother tongue-based policy. So what we are having, unfortunately, is a multilingual reality, which I plead is inevitable for this country, but our educational practices, unfortunately, are still continue to be monolingual practices. And mostly, that is because we still continue with what Professor Ganesh Devi said, and what is this cumulative process? I call this a cumulative process, a vicious cycle of language disadvantage. Indigenous minority languages are socially and educationally neglected, and as a result of this prolonged neglect, languages become weak, because languages strengthen themselves by being used in a variety of domains. Now, if you are depriving a language of its legitimate place in domains which are of significance, economic, legal, official, and so on, then languages become weak. And then our policymakers, educators argue that this language is too weak to be used as a language of science, as a language of teaching, and so on. So this vicious cycle actually continues. And the kind of caste system in our language, you have the dominant language, English, and to some extent perhaps Hindi, and as a major language. And then you have the major state languages, majority state languages, which are scheduled language. And then the indigenous minority languages. Our constitution contributed to this kind of a caste system by accepting certain languages as official, official Hindi being the official language, and English being associate official language initially for a period of 15 years and then subsequently extended indefinitely. And then the 22 was later, but the 14 initially and 18 later as scheduled languages, which are official languages for communication between the union and the states. So we became scheduled languages, which became very sacrosanct, and all other languages were sent to oblivion. Tribal languages were completely ignored. It took more than 50 years in 2003 for the first time, thanks to the Bodo movement, Bodo language movement, which was the first major language movement in India. Tribal languages came to be accepted as scheduled language for the first time. Santali, Bodo, and I think Dogri, they became accepted for the first time as scheduled language. So therefore, the constitution actually had created this kind of a caste hierarchy among languages in India. Now the question, therefore, you know, we have repeatedly heard through this project and otherwise also a lot of research on that, showing that, okay, multilingual individuals, multilingual children are cognitively better and richer in many ways. Now, so the question therefore is, how does education promote effective multilingualism? For me, I subscribe to the first, there are two aspects to this. One is multilingual education, which I subscribe to, mother tongue-based multilingual education. And then what is being talked about here is the other alternative, perhaps because we can't do away with that, is the English medium education system. I will come to that later. For me, multilingual education, means a system of education in which two or more languages are used simultaneously or at different points in time as media of instruction in subjects other than the languages themselves. And the goal is multiliteracy and promotion of multilingualism. And this, I think there are several researches here in India, our MLE Plus, Multilingual Education Plus project studies, which I and Minati Panda carried over for about six years. And several other evaluations of multilingual education project, which started in Andhra Pradesh, undivided Andhra Pradesh in 2006 and in Odisha in 2007, which emphatically show that multilingual education is much more successful in promoting not only better language competence, better multilingual competence, but also in promoting better academic achievement. Unfortunately, the popular demand for English medium instruction overrides the research findings and government's own findings in their own schools, both Odisha and Andhra Pradesh. So I have pleaded in several of my writings, and I plead again, that mother tongue is actually a royal road to multilingual competence and high levels of academic achievement. I do not have time to elaborate on this, but there are a lot written on this. You can look up. And we have developed MLE policy for tribal children. I have the references here, which actually has resulted in a system of education offered for tribal children with large number of schools and all that. We are still struggling to go beyond the certain limitations in this program, but the program has been successful. But then coming to the other alternative, which from my point of view perhaps is, you know, I have not really indulged with that a lot, but we need to also realize that we can promote multilingualism and multiliteracy through English medium schooling, which seems to have been accepted as a default model, because more than 40% of children in this country are already in English medium schools. And every year, the number of children being added to English medium system is more than 10%. In 5 years' time, 2005 to 9 years' time, 2005 to 2014, the number of entrants into English medium system increased by about 1,000% in Bihar and 4,000% in UP. Therefore, we are going into that, and it probably we have to accept that. So, but then I should add that when we are talking about English medium schools, we have a range of English medium schools, which I have called Doon schools to Doom schools. Doon schools are the most prestigious varieties, and then you have a mushrooming group of English medium schools which grow up in tribal, rural, suburban and slum areas, low cost, low quality English medium schools which neither promote English nor promote any academic achievement. So we have a variety of English medium schools, and these schools are actually distributed on the basis of cost and quality of education and exclusivity of English. You know, how exclusively is English used? The research finding here in this project shows that when you go to the government English medium schools or the low cost, poor quality English medium schools, multiple languages are used. That is not the case when you go to a Doon school or you go to the Delhi public school, you go to Goenka school or all the costly English medium schools. English is an exclusive language. Children are punished because they tend to speak in their mother tongues. So what can be done, you know, assuming that, okay, we have large number of such government schools coming up because our politicians, our education ministers and our chief ministers are competing to have English early in their school program and converting the mother tongue based schools into English medium schools. So this is now Andhra and other states have lot of English medium schools which are promoted by government. This was not the case earlier, maybe 10 years back. So we are here to have English medium schools in our public system, public school system. So what do we do? I think what we do is we need to promote, and this has been, again, I don't need to reiterate this. It has been emphatically said in this project finding, is that we need to promote additive multilingualism. Unfortunately, our so-called prestigious high-cost English medium schools promote subtractive multilingualism, promote subtractive bilingualism. The more a child learns in an exclusive, prestigious, high-cost English medium schools, the more the child learns English, the less he retains the mother tongue. In fact, we had a survey in Odisha which shows that about 60% of the children who had been educated through English medium schools cannot read and write their language anymore and can hardly speak. Therefore, there is a clear subtractive language learning in our dominant prestigious English medium schools. But I hope that will not be the case in the public system of English medium schooling, partly because education in English is still not effective, thankfully. You know, so we need to understand that. But then what can we do in this kind of system? Now we are here to have for several years, thanks to our political system, thanks to the democracy and the popular craze for English medium schooling. I think the least we can do is use mother tongue for effective English language teaching. I think this is something that needs to be reiterated. There is a lot of research showing how promoting adequate competence in mother tongue actually adds to the competence in learning other languages. And there are a lot of research to show the longer a child spends in learning in mother tongue, the better is the competence in English. the Ethiopian study and several other studies. So what is needed is facilitating children's pride in and use of mother tongue. Mother tongue for me is not a linguistic category. It is a community ascription. Therefore, what Professor Gonsalves said about accepting child's language as it is, regardless of whether you consider it as a mother tongue, because mother tongues have been invisibilized in our system. Our census, for example, invisibilizes 38 languages under the broad category of Hindi. Maithili till the other day was one of the Hindi languages, one of the Hindi dialects. Now Maithili is a language on its own right, again thanks to the Maithili people who demanded the status. But there are many. Bhojpuri, for example, is a language, you know, right across the border in Nepal. Bhojpuri is a language which is separate from Hindi and other Hindi-based languages, Maithili and others. But here, Bhojpuri is a Hindi dialect. Therefore, the politics of dialectization of languages actually leads to invisibilization of many languages in this country, and therefore we need to recognize that kind of diversity in the classroom system where child is using mother tongue. That's necessary. So we need to go, you know, why is it that, I think I will take two more minutes. Why is it that it is necessary to promote child's mother tongue, even from as a pedagogic principle? Because we know that whatever the child is going to learn in the school system, the so-called academic concepts, actually grow out of everyday experience. Therefore, that every concept that child learns is first reflected in the everyday experience and then reflected in the as a scientific concept. So whether it's mathematical concept like addition, subtraction, multiplication, they all have, not multiplication so much, but addition, subtraction and division have clear experiential representation in child's thinking before they become a mathematical concept. Children indulge with all kinds of number systems and place values. We use, for example, kada. I don't know, kada is a single one, and then you use twos, you know, pairs, joda, kada, joda, I'm thinking in my own language, and then fours, and then we use tens, twelves, twenties, eighties in different kinds of counting system. I'm sure all of you, if you look back to your own childhood experience, you would have experienced a counting system being using different kinds of base values. Why is it that only decimal system is given primacy in our educational system? Even if it is given because it has certain advantages, it is necessary to bring a child from her experienced number system and the place value system, whatever she has experienced, to the so-called academic concept. When we are working with the Saura community in Odisha, the Sauras use 12 as a number system. So their number system goes 1 to 12 and 13 becomes 12-1, then 12-2, 12-3, so on. Therefore, Saura children had a lot of difficulty in grouping things into 12s, 10s, which the mathematic textbooks actually want them to do, bunch them into 10s and 10-1, 10-2, and so on. They didn't understand that. So what we had to do, we had to engage them with all kinds of experienced number systems and place values before they realized, okay, this is more arbitrary and one can use not just 12, but one can use also 10, but I will not dwell on that longer. But I think it's necessary to promote multiple languages because we need to promote metalinguistic, metacognitive skills. Again, a lot has been said on that. I will not dwell on that. I think we need to realize that you can't impose a solution on number of languages in the school. You know, this three language formula is much abused. It's a problem for the country. You know, because everybody is stuck to the three language formula as if there is nothing beyond it. So what it does, it invisibilizes the language of a tribal child. Because if the English, Hindi or whatever dominant national language and regional majority language have to be the three languages in three language formula, where is the place for the child's mother tongue, tribal child's mother tongue? Therefore, three language formula or language policy in this country is a Procrustean solution which is trying to stretch everybody and or fit everybody into a system of three language formula, and there are a lot of problems with that. I can go on discussing this, but I will stop doing this. But one of the things that is happening when you talk about mother tongue based education or talk about bringing mother tongues into the system, it is counterintuitive. That is why it's difficult to be accepted. Because if English remains dominant in everybody, every parent's mind that my child must go to English, they found it unacceptable, the fact that in order to take them to English, you take them to mother tongue. It's like taking them away from English into mother tongue and then trying to say that mother tongue is necessary to promote English is somewhat counterintuitive. Therefore, our efforts to bring in mother tongue in teaching of English has to be very persuasive, because this is at one level counterintuitive. Well, policy, I think, is not the panacea. I would think that changing parents' attitude and teachers' attitude towards EMI and multilingualism is a greater challenge. I think I will stop here, and this is a book in which most of the thinkings have, that I have expressed here are elaborated. I'm sorry I have taken a couple of more minutes of time, but thank you very much.